Boston Talk Sports.
I'm overwhelmed.
Toucher and Rich.
You can eat a lot at one sitting.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Daniel throws down the middle, caught by Stills. Laterals back to Butler, or rather Parker, who flips it to Drake. He runs across the 40 of New England, angling inside to the 30. 25, 20, 15, 10. He's going to win the full race to the end zone. The Dolphins are going to win it. On the lateral, once, then twice, and Drake takes it in. And the Patriots stand stunned in disbelief. For the Patriots,
it's
at the end of the first half and at the end of the second half. They left points on the field several times today, including that missed opportunity in the final half minute of the second quarter.
This is inexplicable. I mean,
there's the call here on your home for Patriots football, 98.5 Sports. Lots of letting it breathe, as they say in the end. Destree.
Gorman and Scalabrine were talking about us yesterday. I don't think they mentioned us by name, though.
No. Oddly enough, no.
Okay, so you
heard that. Yeah.
So I walked in. I went to go run to the restroom. And I walked in. It was like the end of the third quarter. And I walked in, and I heard them finishing up what they were saying.
Yeah, I think all Scalabrine said was the morning show. If I have that right, if I remember correctly.
Scal just finds every kind of way to just completely brush us aside and like not, you know, believe that we are truly the ones that made him the icon.
In all seriousness, I mean, we definitely pushed along his broadcasting career. There's
sure.
No question about
without
that.
A doubt. And he's even said that before.
No, he's said it numerous times, except in any kind of publication.
Oh, the morning show. Come on.
I'm almost positive that's what he said. Because I was kind of like you. I caught the back end of
what it. What was it in reference to?
They were talking about, I think they were plugging Zolak and Bertrand. And then they said, you know, did you hear, you know, Scott, did you hear the call of it? And they both said that they had listened to our show that morning. This is from what I've been told. And they said that, I got to hear it, and they were, you know, very funny playing some of the clips from it this morning on the morning show. And so I
bet you there's a directive not to mention our show.
I don't think that's the case. I mean, there hasn't. Listen, we it was our decision to leave the NBC Sports Boston,
which is all the more reason that they would make it a directive not to.
But there was no ill will towards anyone. It was a happy what is it called, uncoupling. Is
I don't know what goes on over there though. So
yeah, I know.
It's weird over there. So I mean, they wouldn't let me do the. I mean, Gorman wanted me desperately to do.
He made you. I know he made you went to bat for you and had it done. I mean, Scal was on board with it. Heinsohn was on board with it. They were all set. And some mystified use. It was one of those situations where they weren't going to have to pay a dime for anything.
Yeah.
It was in Detroit. You had a place to stay.
Yep.
Transportation to and from the building. And they still wouldn't let you show up and sit in for a quarter.
Meanwhile, we were
doing...
The
guy's already on TV for them.
Yeah, we were on 20 hours a week.
Unbelievable.
And yet I couldn't have been... It was.
You don't have to pay me. I'll show up. You don't have to feed me. I'll sit there for a quarter. Nope. Sorry, can't help you.
I don't think there's a directive to not mention. Yeah. I honestly don't, and I'm not just saying that.
Fowler, text me. I won't read it on the air.
I honestly don't think there's a directive.
Okay.
I just think that maybe Scal thought that because we're not on it, he's just trying not to step.
Is he going to get fired by mentioning the show?
Yes.
No. Well, of course, yes. They're gonna.
What difference does it make?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know.
Is he going to get a phone call?
I need to hear it before I even think it was like a diss.
I mean, it was obviously not Scalabrine or Gorman, but I would bet you anything that it was that there's a directive. Russell, go ahead.
Yeah, I feel like there's a conspiracy here that no one seems to be discussing. The Dolphins are on the 31-yard line. The touchdown run was 69 yards. Gronk was the last line of defense.
That is true.
Yowza.
That is true. He loves to say 69.
Oh, that clip was the best. I didn't play the whole thing there, but I mean, it was just Zolak was so happy that Gronk was on the field. Like, he was just like, hey, there he is, Buzz Lightyear, and he's waving to the crowd, and then that happened. I mean, it really was. Just take that 4 minutes and put it in the Radio Hall of Fame. It was unbelievable.
You're at a block party, and you're smiling and dancing to the band, and then a car comes through and just runs you over.
Just having the time of your life.
Yeah. Hey, look, everyone, I'm on the field. Oh, I'm not normally on the field during this. Well, that's why. That's why. All right. Scott, go ahead.
Hey, Fred.
Scott. Hello? Scott, go ahead.
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
Thanks for taking my call, guys. I'll tell you why I believe you're right. Number one, that was situational football, and that's something the Patriots are supposed to be the very best at. Okay, it was no fluke that they weren't just a bunch of Dolphins randomly running down the field. They had practiced that situation. They had their best athletes staggered, coming down the right sideline, and the Patriots were not prepared for it, and they should have been. They should have kicked the ball out of the end zone, would have left the ball at the 25. They would have had to throw it from the 15, which is not a Hail Mary situation. With that stupid squig, they gave them the opportunity to have that ball at the 50 or so. But it, be that as it may, it was still not a Hail Mary situation because they were throwing it from around the 20.
Well, their thinking probably was if they squib it, because I think they ran off like 9 seconds a clock or something during that, but I could be wrong. But I mean, obviously the idea was to kill some of the clock, because if you don't do that and you kick it through the end zone, that gives them two opportunities to move it downfield. But no, I mean, it was,
yeah, but
go
ahead. I'm not done.
Okay.
I'm not done. So if they kicked it out of the end zone, you're talking a few seconds. They would have been throwing it from the 15. Anyway, it still wasn't a Hail Mary situation.
Yeah.
Right. And the Patriots were, the package they had on the field was a Hail Mary situation package.
Right.
There was no way that was going to be a Hail Mary pass.
No, I don't know.
So they screwed up there.
Yes.
So they screwed up there.
Yes, they screwed up all over the place. There's no doubt about it. Tannehill wasn't throwing a ball 70 yards. How many people in the NFL can throw a ball 70 yards?
Apparently Vince Wilfork.
Yeah, Vince Wilfork.
When he
from
used to play.
Knees.
That's the legend of Vince Wilfork.
Yes, he used to be able to flip and dunk.
Yeah, that's right. And he could, apparently he had like a, what were they saying? Was it a cannon or was it that he could kick a field goal super far?
Who?
Was it he could throw,
Wilfork?
Like, there's
all
a million
about
legends
dunk,
about him.
All I know about is the dunking part. I don't know about the rest of it.
By the way, and Fred, I don't know if this is something that the team will be able to recover from, because you can see how it's affecting all of the players, that the horrible loss in Miami. Because Tom Brady, on his weekly call with his BFF Jim Gray, it seems like things might not be as dreamy as it could be in Best Buddyville.
No boy. Mm-hmm.
Tom, how much you enjoying doing the show this evening?
I know, you know, that you're typically badgering me like usual, and I'm usually not in the best of mood, and you're finding a way to just tweak me a little bit, which I'm not enjoying.
Well, we're going to continue along those lines. Tom, what happened at the end of the first half?
Oh, great.
Oh, no.
Gray's hard-hitting.
He's hard-hitting with those questions that are already printed out and sent to Tom Brady ahead of time.
No more namby-pamby BS.
That's right.
No more namby-pamby. It's time to get down to brass tacks. Mm-hmm. All right. We will talk to Jeff Howe and get his opinion on everything that happened during that Patriots game, from Tom Brady's mental F-up to the inability to put the right package on the field at the end of the game, to the way that the defense got completely throttled with the Dolphins running game, including the excellent Barry Sanders-esque Bolden.
Brandon Bolden.
I had no idea that he was on the Dolphins. I thought he was still on the
Dolphins fans didn't know he was on the team.
Oh, I'm not embarrassed at all telling you that I didn't know he was on the Dolphins.
No, no one knew. No one knew. The fact that they handed the ball to him was a shock, even if you knew he was on the team.
All right, so we'll be right back.
Toucher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Jeff Howe covers the Patriots for The Athletic, and he is kind enough to join us. Jeff Howe, hello, sir.
What's going on, guys?
We are doing fine. How are you?
Great.
All right. So Bill Belichick yesterday refusing to take any blame, but then he was on another radio station, and he said that, hey, it's not like anyone died. You know, Belichick not saying anything is one thing, but then him putting things in actual perspective seems odd. What were your feelings coming out of that call with the media?
Yeah, I really just didn't expect him to go and really change anything. And I think the bizarre thing was, if they were really truly expecting the Hail Mary, then they got it wrong. And it's just weird because the players that spoke to the media after the game almost universally said they were not expecting the Hail Mary. They knew the hook and lateral play was coming. So that means the wrong personnel was on the field. And then you kind of back it up a little bit. As the Patriots are trying to run out the clock before Gostkowski's 22-yard field goal, you know that unless you score, all right, this is the situation that's coming up. And then you send the field goal unit out there. Miami's using the timeouts. You've got the kickoff break. You've got a commercial break. So you've got maybe 5 minutes of real time to really go over what's about to happen and send out the correct personnel group. So I don't know if Belichick and Flores weren't on the same page, or if it was just a mistake in judgment saying that, yeah, it's going to be the Hail Mary and just getting it wrong. But, you know, Belichick, the last thing he's going to do is throw his guys under the bus or anything like that. So, I mean, I think him just saying the universal, I've got to coach it better, is his go-to in situations like that. So, I mean, if you were expecting more, you had to know you weren't going to get it.
All right, McCourty obviously isn't a part of that Hail Mary package, if that's indeed what they had on the field. Is there any reason you could think that why that would be the case?
Absolutely none. There's no reason whatsoever. The guy plays every snap up until that play, the only time he was off the field. And he is an 8-time captain. He is a free safety, so by the literal sense of the word, on every time he is a single high safety, he's your last line of defense. So if it's good enough for every other play, why isn't it for this? And then you know that he's your fastest defensive player. He's possibly your best defensive tackler. And, I mean, those are two qualities you're going to want in the chance that there's not going to be a 69-yard Hail Mary. So I just don't understand that. And, you know, the other side of it is with a 4-man rush, or call it a 3-man rush with a spy and Van Noy or whatever, I think Van Noy was more of like a late strategic rusher to make sure that Tannehill couldn't step up into the pocket. You know, it sort of does further the narrative that they did expect a Hail Mary, because if you are thinking it's going to be a straight hook and lateral play, you're probably only going to use a 3-man rush. But, again, that's part of the second-guessing element of it. You know, why did you have a 4-man rush? You could have pulled one of those guys off the field for McCourty. You could have obviously taken Gronk off the field for McCourty. But then you even look at it another way. It's like, all right, yeah, Gronk had a great game. He looked as good physically as he has since week one. But, you know, Josh Gordon has played that role this season. You've got a guy like Obi Melifonwu, who's 6'4", who could do something similar and gets paid to tackle people for a living. So there's a lot of ways to just go back and second guess the decision to not just put that personnel out on the field, but why did they choose that personnel?
All right. Well, Jeff, the big question, or the bigger picture here is this loss symptomatic of problems that will cut the Patriots short in a playoff run? Or is it just they always lose in Miami and this is just another weird way to do it and it really doesn't affect them one way or another?
I'd say it's more the first point than the second point. Now, I'm not predicting that they're going to lose in the playoffs at this point right now, but, you know, the big picture stuff is more for another time. Yeah, there's always weird stuff that happens in Miami, just like there is when they play the Giants and the Meadowlands and, you know, a couple other places like that. But it's another game when – no, I think the good thing is they didn't really have that slow start offensively, and that's been part of the problem in their first three losses when they were barely even competitive, if at all, against the Jaguars, Lions, and Titans. So we still got the offensive side of it figured out. The weird thing, in my opinion, was – and I was completely wrong in this feeling – but going into the game, the defense was the least of my concerns of the two sides of the ball, just because – and you kind of figured Miami's defense would be a little better than they were. But Brady had a great game. Gronk and Edelman were obviously awesome. But the defense, I mean, five scoring drives, all touchdowns, none of them had a single third down. and the run defense, the Dolphins ran the ball 21 times, including Tannehill's keeper. They gained at least 5 yards on 12 of those runs. So when you're gaining at least 5 yards on more than 50% of your runs, you know that keeps the offense on schedule. So the pass rush was good. The third down defense was great. They were 1 of 7 on third down, but you just didn't do a good enough job of getting them to third down because you were so porous on first and second down, particularly against the run. So if the run defense isn't better in the playoffs, I mean, that's a huge way to go out and lose a game. If you are sacrificing points like they did before the half, the two missed kicks, and obviously with the Hail Mary at the end or the hook and lateral at the end, you know, those are, you give up points like that, you know, you're going to lose to a team like Miami when you shouldn't, but you're almost certainly going to lose to a team like, whether it's the Chiefs and you're in another 40-plus point shootout or more of a defensive grind against a Ravens team or whoever you're playing in the playoffs. So you can't make those mistakes that you've been making on the road, you know, now 4 times this year. And, you know, it's not saying that they won't go out and win a road game in the playoffs or that the Chiefs or whatever, the Chiefs falter in the divisional round and you end up hosting the AFC Championship at Gillette. But again, these are things that they're going to have to clean up because it's not a recipe for winning football in January.
We're talking to Jeff Howe. Brady, obviously, trainers came out. He was walking off the field. He had to sit down for a while. He claims that it was his knee brace, but if you look at the tale of two halves, obviously Brady much more effective in the first half than the second half. Do you buy that it was just a problem with his knee brace, or do you think there might be something more there?
See, that's a good question, and it's one I'm still trying to figure out myself. I mean, I saw him down on the ground, and it seemed like there was very little mention of it on the broadcast, and I still haven't seen the video of him even hitting the deck. So I heard video exists. I haven't been able to see it, so I want to look at that a little bit more. But I did, when the trainers ran out there and I saw Brady sitting on the ground, you know, well after the Gronk score, you know, he gets up and he was adjusting something and I could see him running back or jogging back to the sideline. There really wasn't a limp. They put up the blue medical tent, and as they were getting closer to the sideline, you could see them gesture to collapse the tent. Brady went straight to the bench, told the medical staff to go away, and he immediately resumed his normal sideline routine with McDaniels and charting the plays. So now, you know, Brady is also tremendous at disguising when he's injured. I mean, he had that knee injury against the Titans earlier this season when he took that hit from Woodyard and obviously went down a little funny on that failed pass play. But he shrugged aside any notion of, you know, the medical staff going over and trying to help him out and just went about his business. So, you know, part of me says the immediate optics suggest that he was okay, but you got to always remember that Brady knows how to mask these injuries when he's got them.
All right, Jeff, I'm sorry if you've talked about this before, but explain to me why Danny Shelton isn't playing, especially in light of how Miami gashed him in the running game.
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I thought it was going to be one of those one-week type of wake-up calls, similar to ones that they've had in the past with Malcolm Brown, whether he was benched for a half or Alan Branch, you know, Jabal Sheard a few years ago. For some reason, it always seems to happen on the defensive line. And I hope I'm not mistaken in this, but I didn't see Shelton on the road trip either. So if that is indeed the case, you know, they just didn't plan on playing him at all. So maybe it was supposed to be a one-week type of wake-up call because now he's been a healthy scratch twice in a row. And maybe they just didn't see the necessary improvements, or maybe he didn't handle it the right way in Belichick's eyes. Or maybe it's just a simple fact of, you know, he's just not good enough to crack the 46-man game day roster, which would be even more discouraging because, you know, this guy was we weren't blowing smoke in training camp. The guy was legitimately good. I mean, he looked like their best defensive tackle. He was strong as an ox consistently out there in practice, and it just hasn't translated over to the regular season.
All right, Jeff Howe, you can read him over there at The Athletic covering the New England Patriots' big game this Sunday against the Steelers. We'll see if their road woes continue. Thank you so much for the time, Mr. Howe.
All right, thanks a lot, guys. Have a good one.
All right, appreciate it. Again, Wallach at the game. Took his kids.
Mm-hmm.
Took his wife.
Yep.
He flew a budget airline, and he's sitting here saying that there was nothing wrong with the budget airline. That I've
not
had
on the way back. No,
that I've was there problems on the way there?
No. I think we got delayed.
Well, that's going to happen. But
yeah, nothing to. Okay. Yeah, the flight down, we stopped, and flight back was direct.
All right, we'll fly it again. Let's see how it goes.
We actually, it's funny, on the flight down, we flew through Newark, and that was actually Newark, an enjoyable experience in Terminal C.
Newark has redone the airport?
Yes, at least the terminal I was in.
I think they're redoing the entire LaGuardia.
Yeah.
And I believe that's like a 20-year project that they're working on. All right, we will be back. Here are the headlines.
Sports Hub. Sports Hub headlines.
Celtics entered last night's home game against New Orleans, missing four key players, including Kyrie Irving and Gordon Hayward. So, someone else had to step forward.
10:20 to go. Celtics by 13. Tatum shovels back to Morris. He's hot from three, and he's got another one. Fourth three of the night for Marcus Morris on a night nobody else in black and green can make one. Marcus Morris is 4 of 7 from distance, and the Celtics have their largest lead now, up 16 with 10:03 to go.
That's Sean Grandy here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Marcus Morris hit 5 threes on his way to a team-high 31 points, and the shorthanded Celtics won their 6th in a row, 113-100 over New Orleans. Anthony Davis, 41 for the Pelicans. Celtics now 16-10. They visit the Washington Wizards tomorrow night. Bruins will try to make a 3 straight wins tonight. They'll host Arizona at TD Garden. Judd Surratt and Bob Beers have the pregame at 6:30 in the face off at 7 here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Patriots back at work yesterday following a disaster in Miami. They visit Pittsburgh this Sunday. Last night, Seattle beat Minnesota 21-7. And in baseball news, the winter meetings continuing in Las Vegas this week. Red Sox appear to be out on free agent closer Craig Kimbrell. Yankees remain adamant they are not in on free agent Bryce Harper. Sports Hub headlines are brought to you by the 99 Restaurants. 99 Restaurant gift cards are the perfect gift. For every $25 you purchase, receive a $5 bonus card for yourself. The 99, always the real deal. I'm John Wallach at Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Your next update in 30 minutes.
Recovery Centers of America is intercepting addiction by providing inpatient and outpatient addiction treatment services at 2 state-of-the-art Massachusetts locations. Call 1-800-RECOVERY today or visit recoverycentersofamerica.com to learn more.
Give the gift of 8 rounds of golf this year with the Mass Tour card. Courses include Stowe Acres, Sunday River Country Club, and more. A $400 value for just $99. Buy today at masstourcard.com.
I'm Alex Reisman, and this holiday, you can give her the ring she really wants.
Because right now, qualified buyers get 5 years, 60-month financing.
Buy a $5,000 Rom Diamond engagement ring for under $118 a month.
Now's the time to pop the question.
Give her a Rom Diamond, and I guarantee she'll say yes.
At Rom Diamond, we can make diamonds a part of your life.
Route 24 to Exit 17B, and right now online at romdiamonds.com.
The wait is over. Huge year-end sales have arrived at Bernardi Toyota. Hurry in to get our biggest savings yet. Like new RAV4s, just $169 a month. Our biggest year-end celebration is here. Visit BernardiToyota.com to unlock our best prices. 2018 RAV4 LE all-wheel drive with automatic 36-month, 12,000-mile a year lease. $3,452 due at signing plus tax tag, title registration fee, and $479 dock fee. Must qualify for $1,250 college grad rebate with approved credit through TFN. Zero security deposit. See dealer for details. Offer expires 12/31.
Hey, it's Matt. You don't have to tell me. I know. You want to enjoy the holidays, but you're worried about your weight. It's simple. Call New England Fat Loss and start burning fat immediately. This is the real food program that delivers real results. You can start losing pounds now while enjoying delicious food. So wouldn't you rather make your New Year's resolution to get a new wardrobe? Or how about doing more and feeling great on the family vacation? New England Fat Loss will help you with the right balance based on your personal DNA. This is science, not sales. Burn fat and enjoy the holidays.
England Fat Loss.
At Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare, we've got plans for you. Plans backed by 50 years of putting members first. With nurse care managers who listen in your language and virtual doctor visits on your phone. So that quality care is always at your fingertips. We've got plans that work for the young and healthy and the young at heart. Plans for your mind, body, and bank account. And a plan to bring happiness back to healthcare. So get healthy. Get happy. Get to know us at GetHarvardPilgrim.org.
Get happy.
If you're looking for a location to host your high school class reunion or company's holiday party, I've got the place for you. Apex Entertainment Center in Marlboro wants to help plan the ultimate class reunion or holiday party. With over 80,000 square feet of pure fun, you'll feel like you're in your high school again or be able to compete with your coworkers on the multi-level go-kart track and then head over to Battle Out in a game of laser tag, bowling, and arcade games or play some of the best golf courses in the world in the simulators. Book today at apexentertainmentcenter.com and tell them Maz sent you. Hey, it's Maz. We all know game days in Boston mean traffic days in Boston, especially for reverse commuters. So it's time to swap your game day drive for a commuter rail ride. Avoid traffic and get more done during your trip. Rethink your reverse commute and download the mTicket app to buy tickets right on your phone.
Looking for the perfect gift this holiday season? Give the ultimate movie experience with a Showcase Cinemas gift card and now receive a free $10 promo card for every $50 that you spend. Offer valid in theaters and online at showcasecinemas.com.
It's time to see 2020 today. Have money left in your Flex account and need to use it by the end of the year? Boston Laser accepts all Flex spending accounts. Book your free LASIK evaluation at bostonlaser.com. That's bostonlaser.com.
Yo, we driving, yeah. We living our best life and my car smells fresh. Yeah, but we weren't always thriving. It was you, girl. Mm,
told you so.
Who pointed out that smell? Right. Now it's all fun. The odor's gone. Fabrice car works so well. Come on, keep driving, let's go.
Oh boy, your car smells nice.
Fabrice car, yeah, yeah, let's go. That's right.
Yeah, you. Holiday Inn Express wants to let you in on a little secret. There's still time to get at least 20% off at holidayinnexpress.com during our annual sale. We'll even throw in free breakfast. Just kidding. Breakfast is always included in your stay at Holiday Inn Express. Book now and save at holidayinnexpress.com. Terms apply.
Now during Happy Honda Day.
Get Toucher and Rich. Download the Sports Hub app today.
What's on your Christmas wish list this year?
That's kind of hanging that stuff on a personal side. Just trying to get the team ready to go next week against the Jets. We're just trying to get the team ready to go against the Jets. I'll just leave the personal questions aside for right now. Yeah.
What do you want for Christmas? Nunchucks. Sweet chucks, maybe some samurai swords.
Is that what you believe someone who's listening to a Motorhead Christmas album would want for Christmas?
I think it's Belichick.
I mean, that is one of my all-time favorites. Do you know what? They don't get more softball than that. They don't get more just like, hey, what do you want?
Win this weekend, you know. No, it's personal. I mean, it's personal. I want to keep on trucking, blacklight poster.
Sure.
Some nunchucks, some throwing stars.
Maybe a signed Slippery When Wet vinyl.
Well, he's probably like, please. Like, he needs that.
He's already got this Bon Jovi signature tattooed on his body somewhere.
I'm telling you, if he played lacrosse, he is all these things that I bet you if you saw him naked, he would have a tattoo of some sort.
And it would be Bon Jovi related, right?
I don't know. He might have got it when he was younger, and it was just like Jersey Boy.
That's all it would say?
Yeah, like Jersey Boy. Or like you can kiss it like right on his ass. Or just like a...
Kiss this ring? It's pointing towards his...
No, Rich. He would be too old at that point. I'm saying when he was a carefree youngster.
Okay.
But, you know, maybe a lax stick...
It could be. Yep.
Some says lacrosse for life.
That is true.
All right. So this is the season of Christmas parties. And at CBS, it was funny because you could tell how invested the company was in its radio side. Because when we first started, we've been here a long time now, but 2006 when we first started, it was like at the Palm or something. And it was...
They had the big ballroom at the Palm. Yeah. And it was catered by... you know, a steak restaurant, and they had like this huge buffet, and they were bringing drinks by on plates and stuff.
And Chachi would do, here are my favorite, or here are the more effed up things. And he did it every year. He would go, I got to write it. Oh, the pressure of writing this song. I'll tell you what, Lacuadera is better than all of you. Mitch Agassi sat there. Well, we have Jesu. And so then it went from that to something like more low key. And then
I think it was the bar across the street at one point. It was just like, all right, we're going to go to Hogan's. Was kind of a Christmas party.
I don't remember that. But
wasn't there a Hogan's get together one Christmas?
Not Bird remembers. Not with the station.
Oh, that was just kind of a, like, yeah. Like the Renegades, like the employees. Yeah. Or
so. But at the end, it was like, if you want to bring in something, go ahead.
Yeah, it was like from 2 to 2:13, we're going to have in the break room a potluck. So if you got a bag of Fritos, bring it in, and then you can kind of pat each other on the back, and then we're all good.
Because people don't want to go to company Christmas parties anyway.
I don't think that's true.
I think it's absolutely true.
I think a lot of people like the ability. Now, it depends on what kind. If it's the kind where there's an open bar and you can drink with your fellow employees, some people actually really like that.
Well, it's not wise.
Well, now that's a completely different story.
Well, because you're going to drink with the employees that you like anyway. The whole idea.
But for free.
See, back in like when BCN was at its, you know, most debaucherous, I could see that would be really fun. I mean, people were hooking up. There were drugs all over. It was like the movie Bachelor Party with Tom Hanks. There was a mini horse. But those were like fun, and there was like no ramifications of behavior. I mean, the excess and debauchery was expected.
Sure.
But now it's sort of, you go in, and all that can happen is that you lose. There's nothing that can happen where you're going to be like, you're going to leave there and go, there's no way you're going to go, I had a good time. Or you're going to leave there and wake thinking you had a good time and wake up the next morning and go, oh, Jesus. And then review in your head every conversation that you had. Did I talk to this person?
Sure.
Then phone calls start happening.
Oh, yeah.
Because even if you didn't get, like, blacked out drunk, which, you know, 90% of people aren't, 99% of people aren't going to do, there's still that, the uncertainty, like, because you know you've been around and you've been drinking, and there's like some uncertainty. Did someone take this the wrong way? Best to stay away. But well, for instance, this Friday is our company's Christmas party, and it just happens to be across the street from where we're having our show party, which Rich has left wide open for couples, and now this is going to cost quite a chunk of change. It's the first thing my wife said. I said, Rich wants to have, you know.
We've never done it with a significant other.
Yeah, no, it's true.
And I was like, let's do it this year. Let's finally do it and invite the significant others.
And the first thing my wife said was, oh, geez, that's going to cost you a lot of money. And I said, indeed it will. But nonetheless, so if I go to the Christmas party, it would be 1,000 times as early as you could possibly get there. And then Irish goodbye it. You go in and then you get out.
The Irish goodbye is a very underrated thing. People think that it's a negative. I love it. And you know what? Just not saying goodbye and taking off. Yeah. I never feel offended when people do it.
No.
Matter of fact, I'm like, cool. I hate the long goodbyes. There's nothing worse than trying to leave someplace and you have to say bye to 14 people when you do it. You just slowly walk away like you're going to the bathroom and boom, you're
gone.
This
works well for you though, Fred, because our party's at what, 7?
Yeah.
And the company party starts at 6?
Yeah.
So this is going to work out well for you.
Well, there was the time that we were eating we were taking out some people that had done our show, and we were at like that whatever the steak restaurant is.
Fleming's.
Yeah, oh, yeah. It's one of my favorite meals of all time I've had with you guys.
And then we sat there.
It's the best.
We were sitting there, and all of a sudden, we look out the window, and Rich is on a bike riding away.
Yep. Said, see
well, the thing
but
was,
that was a dinner.
But Rich went to the bathroom. He went to the bathroom and just didn't come back. And all of a sudden, we saw the bike go by. I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
But that's not a party situation. That's just leaving dinner.
Yeah, but dinner was done.
Yeah, but you didn't even say, like, all right, guys, I'm taking off.
No, it was great because we kind of, Rich, we know you, we work with you, we kind of say, okay. Meanwhile, if I remember correctly, Haggerty was there and Gary Washburn was there.
I thought it was
and
funny.
And they looked at us and like,
my way of saying bye was I was going to ride by the window on my bike and go middle fingers, double freedom rockets.
Well, it was,
I thought that was way better.
No, but yours was kind of like a drive-by situation. When Fred was done that night, Fred backed up, knocked over the chair behind him, flipped all of us the bird while we were sitting at the table, turned around and left.
All right, both A-plus ways to leave.
It was great.
Do we agree? Like, those are both,
I have
both
no complaints. It was very funny. Ways it was fantastic. I just was sorry, because Haggerty kind of gets it. Washburn had no clue what
well, that
was
makes
going
it
on.
Even funnier.
What the hell going on?
That he was like, Washburn had a porterhouse.
Yeah, Dan O'Brien and I are like, don't worry about it. You're fine.
I mean, if you're going porterhouse with people you've never met before, that's saying something. Frank, Frank, go ahead.
Freddie T, what's Wallach's wife's name?
Oh, man. Really?
I know it.
Oh, come on.
Why did you?
Dude.
This is what you said to the phone screener.
Oh, man.
All right, Wallach's. He said it today.
Yep.
Oh, Freddie, come on.
Don't tell him. Make him go into Friday.
Okay.
I know Wallach's wife's name.
Freddie.
She's been at your house many times.
Not many.
What's
She's
Mike's wife's name?
A handful.
What's Mike's wife's name?
She's going to be so mad at you, Fred. She's going to be so uncomfortable.
How about Dan?
Don't take my money.
How about Dan? Do you not know the names of anyone significant other than mine?
I've only met Dan's wife once.
You don't know the name of anyone significant other than
mine? I know the name of Wallach's wife. This is too much pressure on the radio.
Then what is it?
A lot of pressure. I didn't expect this call happening. Wallach's wife's name is...
Ransom.
Oh, I know it. I know it. Damn it.
Just go around the room and name everyone's significant other.
I've met Lockhart's wife a few times. I've met Bird's girlfriend once, so that doesn't count.
No. Bird and Nick don't count.
Okay.
That doesn't count.
Oh, my God. My God, I know your wife's name. Oh, my God, I know your wife's name.
You do.
I do know it.
You do.
Why did that call go through?
All right, you know what I think is going to happen? I think if we go to break and Fred has a couple minutes to collect himself, he's going to get this one.
I know your wife's
name. I know you do. I know you do. You're really struggling with this, and I kind of understand it. There's that pressure. You weren't expecting this kind of situation, and all of a sudden you get blindsided. I got it.
Oh, my God, I know your wife's name.
She's listening, too, on her way to work.
True. You know the significant other of mine. That's it. You know my wife, but no one else.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know Wallach's wife's name. I don't recall Dan's wife's name, and I know Mike's wife's name, but it might not occur to me. But I definitely know Wallach's wife's name. Oh, man. Dan, I only met your wife once.
True.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't, yeah.
And it's not like Dan doesn't like, Dan will be like, we're going to my wife's mother's house. Like, so you got to give me do you know Dan's wife's name?
Yes.
Did you?
Do?
Yes.
Okay. John?
I don't. I've forgotten. See, that's the thing. I'm beginning to think about this.
Do you know Mike's, John?
I should.
Oh, boy.
Oh my God! And I've met her multiple times too. See, this is the pressure. I know what.
Yeah.
Fred's
now
going
we've met Mike's wife.
Yeah. Oh, many times.
Quite a few times.
No. I've been to Mike's house.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Yeah. Dan knows everyone's kids' names. That's right.
That's impressive.
Well, that's really impressive. Well, you can read Mike's arms and figure that out. You can read my forearm and figure out one of them. Oh my God! I know your wife's name. You said it today. All right, well, this has become a bit of a uncomfortable
It'll
situation.
It'll be a fun Friday.
Yeah, for everyone.
Well, I mean, come on.
Are you as excited as I am to meet Bird's significant other?
I've met
we
her.
We have.
Oh, she's coming. It's still her? Oh, we have met her.
She's delightful. See, look.
I didn't realize it was the same one.
Same
she
woman.
She's delightful. Corinne, is it Corinne? No, I didn't know that. What's her name? Okay, Rebecca. See, I have no idea. I didn't know.
Very nice. She's
woman.
Normal.
She's the one who was at the radio station.
Very
right?
nice woman.
Yeah,
yep.
She is delightful. I like her.
She went out of her way to explain Bird to me. She had keen insights into what Bird was all about.
This complex man.
Well, no, she was like, you know, here's what's wrong with him, and you know, this is the deal. But she was very nice.
That's right.
Oh my God, I know your wife's name. Oh my God. All right. Well, that call was unnecessary. Just started a bunch of hootenanny. Oh, and it's like in my head.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just sitting there in a pile of gray matter in my brain that I can't get through. All right, we will be right back.
Stay tuned for more Toucher and Rich on 98.5 Sports Hub.
Sarge really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
Jace, do I just may.
It's really cold outside.
Monday Night Raw
with Dean Ambrose
is on tonight.
Roman Reigns is gonna suplex Bray Wyatt.
I know it's gonna be soon.
Like your death.
We'll be eating at Kowloon.
Don't go to sleep.
So hey, Andy Wong.
He's cool and will be spared.
Let's have some Saugus wings.
Don't go to sleep.
98.5, the Sports Hub, with Toucher and Rich. I remembered Wallach's wife's name off the air, Lee.
Yep.
Aaliyah is one of Mike's daughters.
That's correct. The other one is?
Aaliyah, and I know the other one's
Clementine.
Name.
Clementine.
Clementine, that's yep. Right. Aaliyah and Clementine. I know that. So, I did remember Wallach's wife's name. Which is
as soon as the light went off, he had a chance to collect himself without any prompting, without any looking at other materials. He said, "It's Lee, right?" I'm like, "Yep." That's
all right. So yeah, see, I'm super cool. All right, people have been at much the consternation of many people without us endorsing it in any way, have been calling radio stations and saying things like "Sarge sucks" and, mm-hmm. and stuff of that nature. Now, yep. Rich. For this is the first time hearing it. This is a another call.
Yeah, it's the first time actually hearing it too. I was informed of this yesterday, and so from what's been happening with all these people calling and with Sarge calls all over, whether it be to the Sean Hannity show or to be to Paul Feinbaum or Mike Francesa or even here locally, it seems like people's radars are up. And I have been told that there are some stations in town that are extremely aggressive on the dump buttons, ones that have been specifically instructed to look out for people trying to call in.
Well, that's stupid, because what you're going to end up doing is cutting people off before, even if they weren't going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So the worst, I mean, what's worse? Having someone say Sarge sucks on the air or overly anticipating it every phone call? Overly anticipating at every phone call. Someone says Sarge sucks. What do you care?
That's to me. That's great. It's great because then every phone call you're just on pins and needles.
No, that's what I'm saying. So if I'm another radio station, I like so what? Like yeah. What? Everyone's going to tune over to us now?
Apparently.
Boy, is that dumb.
By the way,
I should program every radio station in the country.
I guess Mustard and Johnson are just getting destroyed, like on Saturday mornings. Like apparently there's no mercy on those guys. However, this call was not to Mustard and Johnson. This was to a different show on that same station.
Okay.
I haven't heard this.
I was unaware of this until minutes ago.
All right. Let it roll.
Anyway, let's go to Nick in the North End. Hey, Nick.
Hey, what's happening?
What's going on?
So I just wanted to remind you guys that once again, Brady walked off the field with a lead, which is something that I don't think the media has really even brought up today.
What do you mean? We know what the score was. I mean,
he didn't get the job done! Right,
Brady couldn't finish it. It's like the Super Bowl, Nick.
Once again, he walked off with a lead, and then after the game, the media, Mark Bertrand's blubbering like a baby, and the other guy, that guy sucks, what's his name? Mike Sarge Riley? Guy's terrible.
Anyway, Brady had his best game.
Nick from the North End calling in, a.k.a. John from Vegas.
Yeah.
I don't approve of the bird trend shot. That's not very nice. Just when you think he's dead, John from Vegas comes back. He's like Rob Gronkowski. He's still got a little left.
I think if you give John a little time off, the new year rolls around, he'll be completely invigorated.
Right, it's like, rah, reborn.
Yeah, John from Vegas, who I happen to find very funny.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
So he's been Bird before, although it was pronounced Berg. He's been Noj, which is John backwards. And yesterday he was Nick from the North End.
Okay, well, he's concealing
son his of Mark from the North End.
Oh, man, look at that, Mark. My name's Mark. Oh, John from Vegas, you've done it again.
Is he still on Twitch right now?
I was just going to say,
Mark Jamelli puts in a good hour in the morning. It's 6 a.m. He wakes straight up and then hops on the old Twitch and starts talking to people.
Yeah, he wakes up at like 2 in the morning or 3 in the morning. And he's already had lunch by the time he pops on at 6. All right, no commercials here, just the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.